is the Cactus League Report.
Going, goodbye baseball!
On 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle app.
Strike three called, admiring the hook from James Paxton tonight.
Now, the Cactus League Report.
Hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Cactus League Report tonight under the lights as the Mariners get ready to take on the Oakland A's from the Peoria Sports Complex. Hi again, everybody. I'm Rick Riz along with Aaron Goldsmith, Shannon Dreyer, and producer-engineer Gary Hill Jr. What a night out for baseball. The Mariners had a close one yesterday against the Colorado Rockies. Rockies ended up winning that ballgame by a score of 3-2. But the big news, and I'm telling you the big news in camp today, there has been a buzz here in Peoria over the last couple of days. The signing of Ichiro Suzuki as a free agent, a one-year deal. Ichiro is back with the ball club after 11 and a half seasons in Seattle. He had the incredible year in 2001 where he was the American League Rookie of the Year, the American League Most Valuable Player, then traded away to the New York Yankees midway through 2012, a few years with the Yankees, the last few years with the Miami Marlins. Aaron, Shannon, Gary, Ichiro is back, and there was a throng of media this afternoon to welcome Ichiro back.
I think Ohtani doesn't feel like he's getting much attention all of a sudden down here in the Valley, right, guys?
You think he looks up today and goes, where'd everybody go?
Hey, yeah. You guys are supposed to be over here with me. That was a pretty special day today inside the Peoria Sports Complex, no doubt about that.
It was fun. What are your thoughts about Ichiro coming back? And right now, you know, Jerry's been talking with his agent for a long time during the course of the offseason, but then things really heated up because of the injury to Ben Gamble. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and he comes in at the right time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had the opportunity to talk to Scott Servais about an hour after the press conference, and he said he told Ichiro, you're going to play, and you're going to play more than you played in Miami. And he said, yeah, it could be 4 to 5 days a week. That he said, you know, Jerry and his guys looked out there, and they like what he can bring. They saw something that he can bring to the field. Scott is really interested in getting that experience in the clubhouse with some of the younger outfielders. And I think you guys were in the clubhouse yesterday. It was a lot of fun to see the reaction from those guys. Even Ben Gamel, who kind of opens the door and can't play for the next few weeks, was very excited. I mean, he lit up when he talked about the opportunity to kind of learn from him. So an interesting move on the Mariners' part. It was fun to see him up there. I've kept in contact every time every time we have gone wherever Ichiro is or he's come, I've gone into the clubhouse and talked to him. And just kind of an appreciation that's grown through the years, and it's neat to see him back.
You know, I liked so many things that he said, but the one thing that really resonated is that even though he was dealt away to the Yankees and spent 3 years in New York, 3 years in Miami, his home is still there in Seattle. Of course, he has his home in Japan. And he said, you know, this is my home, and I've got a chance to come back here. He would love to play until he's 50. Right now he's 44. But he still takes ownership in this franchise because he was one of the biggest stars in baseball when he wore number 51 here in Seattle. And I just watching him today, Aaron and Shannon, I don't think he can be any happier right now to be back in a Mariners uniform and back home.
Well, a slight correction, Rick, because didn't he say today that he wants to put away the rumors? He doesn't want to play until he's 50, Rico.
Beyond.
Until he's at least 50. I mean, we have an edit to the Ichiro long-term plan here.
Well, he told me 7 years ago he wanted to go to 50.
And now he's going past that.
Yeah, going by that. So
wasn't it interesting, though, the player who showed up inside the press conference today?
Yeah, D. Gordon.
Now, he had to scram after only a few minutes. I guess D. had things to do, which makes sense. But we knew before spring training even began how big of a fan D is of Ichiro during their crossover time in Miami. So it was pretty cool to see D. Gordon inside the press conference today.
He's definitely one of his biggest fans. Big There's influence. No question about that. You know, one of the things that was interesting about Ichiro and one of the things that I wrote down is, you know, obviously he's been in this game so long and things change when you're in the game for a long time. He said that, you know, up until July of 2012 when he was traded, he knew exactly what he would be doing. Then he goes to the Yankees, and he said, that was the first time I had to look at a lineup card. And he had to look at the lineup card every day. And there were ups and downs for that, and everybody knows, you know, any player would love to be playing every day, but he said the experience of that and then taking that into Miami taught him to adapt. And it was the first time he'd had to face that. And so he said, you know, that helps him coming back here. He said he's different in that regard.
Yeah, even to the point that he said when he was with the Yankees, he'd be in the on-deck circle. A left-handed pitcher would come in, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm going to sit down. And there were times, you know, that he did. So it was a very different dynamic for Ichiro, who obviously was in there every day when he first got here. Granted, he was 27 years of age when he got here after being a star in Japan for a number of years, right around 1,300 hits in Japan, and then now over 3,000 base hits. But, I mean, taking a look at his numbers, you know, 157 games played, 159, 161, 162 in 2005. He played in every game again in 2008. He played in every game again in 2010. And, of course, he had that amazing season in 2004 when he set the single-season hit record with 262 base hits, guys, breaking George Sisler's mark of 257. And I'm telling you, that 262 is going to last for a long time. And now the question is, okay, what's left in the tank at 45? Looking at Ichiro, great shape. I'm just taking a look at his numbers, 5'11", 175. You know, looks like in great shape.
We'll hear from Jerry a little bit later in the show tonight, and he describes exactly what that physical looked like for Ichiro in Seattle and how you would not think it was the physical of a 44-year-old, speaking to how good of a shape he's in.
No, so I think he's going to play a heck of a role early in the season because of the injuries.
Yeah, it's something I'm sure he'll embrace, to have you know, the manager come up to him and say, you are going to play. That's going to make him feel that much better about coming in, and hopefully he gets off to a good start. The team needs that.
Absolutely. So big news today with the signing of Ichiro, and more big news coming up here on the Cactus League Report. Why? We're going to visit with the tremendous senior director of marketing, our very own Greg Green, is going to join us here on the Cactus League Report. Night baseball here in Peoria as the Mariners get ready to take on the Oakland A's. Don't go away. We'll be back with Greg Green right after this timeout.
Now back to the Cactus League Report, live from Mariners spring training in Arizona.
Sir friends, single game tickets are on sale now, which means you can lock in your seats to some of the biggest games of the year, including opening night, kids opening day, fireworks night, and big matchups against the Yankees, Dodgers, Blue Jays, and more. For tickets, log on to Mariners.com. Welcome back to the Cactus League Report. The fans filing into the Peoria Sports Complex under the lights. The Mariners taking on the Oakland Athletics tonight. Cactus League Report continues. We've got a chance to visit with Greg Green, the Senior Director of Marketing. GG, thanks for joining us tonight. And we're only 22 days away from opening night, March the 29th at home against the Cleveland Indians. Game time is 7:10. A lot going on. So tell the folks what's going on opening day.
Rick, it's great to talk to you and everybody down there in Peoria. There is certainly a lot of activity happening up here at Safeco Field. It's a beehive of activity, if you will. Everybody getting ready for opening night and another exciting season of Mariners baseball up here. And like you said, it all starts with opening night, which, you know, I think you'd agree with me, should be a national holiday. We should just all take the day off, go to the ballpark, watch the game, listen to the game, and take it in, because it's special. You talk to so many people how, you know, they get their kids and they come to opening night with them every year, or with friends or the same people, and sit in the same spot. But it's just such a unique tradition, and we have a lot of those traditions teed up for opening night, like the red carpet introductions, all the players coming out of right field, the young child that will be the first to touch all the bases, which is always, I've seen it now 17 or 18 times we've been in Safeco Field. It still makes me cry every time we see the child that you know, was the first to touch all the bases at Safeco Field. And we got a few other surprises up our sleeves for opening night. But, you know, it should be a really special day at the ballpark. Hopefully everybody can make it out. There's still tickets available. And it should be great. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, Gigi, did you hear Ichiro's back? Did you catch one of this?
What?
Yeah.
What? Where have I been? I've just been at my desk all day. I had no idea.
You're buried. You're buried in work, getting ready. I'm just curious. I mean, Gigi, you guys are as creative as they come in baseball. I mean, how quickly are the wheels turning for you guys now? With Ichiro back, man, I know you guys are, you're brainstorming everything under the sun, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, it's really exciting. You know, me being just a fan of his, a fan of the team. And, you know, thinking about opening night and what the atmosphere is going to be like, we were just talking about it in the hallway here, what that moment's going to be like on opening night when he gets introduced at Safeco Field. I mean, we remember we were here last year when he gave us all chills when he came back with the Marlins and, you know, left us with a home run. I mean, he's going to create another great moment on opening night, and we're getting another chance to watch a Hall of Fame player, and it's going to be amazing to see, especially that first game back.
Greg, you've been there for all of it with Ichiro when he was in a Mariners uniform. You just mentioned you're a fan. What is it that got you about him initially?
What got me is that he is unlike any player we have ever seen and, you know, probably will ever see again in our lifetime. You know, we've been so fortunate here in Seattle to see so many great ball players come through. We've seen Griffey, you know, we've seen Felix, we've seen Ichiro, we've seen Edgar, just these, you know, once-in-a-generation talents that, you know, played every day in our ballparks in front of us, on our TVs. We got to listen to them, and, you know, you just never know what they're going to do. They're must-see, must-listen-to at bats. And just as a fan, that's what brings you in, these special talents. And on top of that, to have somebody that's such a unique personality and bring such a style and a flair to the game, like none other than him. And then, you know, seeing him both on the field and then what he can bring to his teammates and how much they love him and, you know, how behind the scenes, how hilarious that guy is. He's going to be a great addition to this team, and it'll be fun to watch him here again at Safeco Field.
What has been the uptick at the ticket sales counter with the announcement today?
Like I just said, Aaron, I've been in front of my desk all day, so I haven't been checking the the ticket sales. But I know, you know, just hearing from, you know, friends and family and everybody else, that there's just a lot of excitement about his return. And I know I've, you know, been following you guys and the press conference and everything else. There's a lot of excitement down there in the clubhouse and everywhere else about Ichiro's return.
It's going to be an interesting start to the season, opening day, then an off day. Brief homestand to start things off against Cleveland. What else is coming up for the fans against Cleveland?
Well, we talked about the opportunity to watch one Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer in Ichiro, and then on the first Saturday, we're going to celebrate what's sure to be another Hall of Famer that we're going to be watching on our field here for a long time to come, and that's Robinson Cano. You know, he won the All-Star MVP, helped the American League with an extra-inning home run. And we're commemorating that great moment with a bobblehead on Saturday. So right out of the gate, the first Saturday is Robinson Cano Bobblehead Day. Hopefully fans come out on that March 31st date. And then, as you just mentioned, Rick, in your promo, we are doing our first kids opening day on April 1st with Felix Hernandez T-shirts for all kids 14 and under, and lots of great jobs and events around the ballpark for the youngsters on April 1st. And then it just continues from there. We had a lot of crazy fun giveaways throughout the year. Ben Gamel Cap Night. Rick, have you seen this? Have you gotten wind of it?
The cap.
Ben's like locks attached to the hat to give you the Flo-Bro look. That's coming on April 13th. It's a thing of beauty. You'll have to take a look.
Trust me, I will. Hey, opening day, just 22 days away. Gigi, visiting with Greg Green. You guys do such an amazing job promoting Mariners baseball. It's going to be a fun year throughout the season, especially what you guys do on the field and the giveaways and so many things for the fans along the way in 2018. So, Gigi, thanks so much for being on the Cactus League Report tonight, buddy.
Appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing you guys up here soon when we get it going.
All right, Greg Green, our guest, Senior Director of Marketing. The Cactus League Report continues coming up next. One of the new faces on the coaching staff is a former pitcher in the big leagues, now current assistant pitching coach on the ball club this year, Jim Brouwer. Shannon's going to visit with Jim. We'll be back with that interview right after this timeout.
Now back to the Cactus League Report, live from Mariners spring training in Arizona.
Well, the Mariners tonight here in Peoria getting ready to take on the Oakland A's. Welcome back to the Cactus League Report. Mariners have a couple of new faces on the coaching staff this year. Jim Brouwer pitched in the big leagues for a long time, from 1999 until 2007. He's one of the assistant pitching coaches on this ball club. Shannon, you had a chance to sit down with Jim Brouwer and and talk a little pitching at this ball club.
Yeah, I was really interested to get to him and find out what his role was going to be, specifically how he utilizes the technology and the information. He was brought in to kind of be an assistant with that, help get that to the players and the coaches. His background, he was a minor league pitching coach of the Royals. He was a self-proclaimed 17-year league journeyman in baseball, also the minor league pitching coordinator for the Chicago Cubs. And the first thing that I wanted to talk to him about was some of the technology that they're using. It's no longer a matter of going in and checking after a game what your spin rate and what your arm angles were. Now they're doing that in the bullpens, and he talks about some of the mechanisms that they have to do that and how they use it.
TrackMan and data was just getting into the game, you know, the Moneyball approach. Things are tending that way, and it's more for an evaluation standpoint, not as much for a player development standpoint. And I think that's where the game is shifting now, is that, you know, those numbers are great for evaluation, for free agency and player acquisition. But what I've been able to do when I started in AA as a pitching coach with the Royals is starting to use that information for actually developing players. And how is it coachable? And that's the big question is, a lot of people have information, either what you're doing with it or how you're applying it, and that's what I'm coming in to do.
It's basically a tool now.
It is, and that's what I try to tell people, that, you know, that then when you say numbers or analytics, people just get pushed away, and it's the wall comes up because, well, I don't want to deal with it. But if you go with it as another tool, kind of like video. Mm-hmm. Video, when it first came out, it's a tool. It's a tool. Trust what you see. Go look at video to see if it substantiates it. And if it does, great. If it doesn't, then, you know, it's not a negative. It's just, you know, it's another process, another layer, and that's what this is. This is another layer of that.
So we see the TrackMan set up in the six-pack over here and on some of the minor league fields here. How are the Mariners using that in spring training?
Well, what we're doing is I'm coming in trying to create a baseline for players. I want to make sure that they're at least within range of where they were last year, if that was what they're looking for. This guy had a great season. He comes in, you put him in a bullpen setting. It's never the same as a game setting, but it's going to be within reason. And so if his release height or extension is, everything is okay, you know, I like what I see, the numbers are within reason, then, you know, life is good. But if this is a way to see if a player maybe changed in maybe a way he wasn't expecting, so we can jump on it early. And I think all of this is a progression into the season, because I don't want to get to a point where the season starts, all of a sudden now you bring up, wow, I mean, you've really changed in this area. Did you want to? And they're going to say no. Mm-hmm. Well, then we got to adjust that. I'd rather have that nice 4 to 6 week buffer to start the dialogue. They get to know me, and so it's not an urgency. It's a work in progress.
And there are some guys, I know some guys that work at some different pitching schools and academies and with coaches that use this throughout the winter, are very comfortable with it, and other guys you probably have to introduce a little bit more.
It is. Everyone has different levels of comfort to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, guys that, let's say, go to Driveline Baseball or P3 in St. Louis with Brian, I mean, they're not, you know, the information isn't a negative. It's a reinforcement. Mm-hmm. So that it's an easier sell, I mean, to be honest with you. But when you sit down individually and you look at all these numbers and we're able just to highlight, don't worry about all these, we're just going to be simple. We're going to keep it, what is your number? What's the important thing for you? And when you do that, when you break it down individually, because the numbers themselves, there's no bias. There is no good or bad. It's just, here's what it sees. And now it's up to the coach to interpret it and the players to kind of disseminate it, you know, what makes sense, what doesn't.
In-game data, preparation data, how obviously a lot of it was used last year. Something we saw new over the last 2 years is it went from a week or a series, one meeting per series, to a meeting every day with all of the pitchers. What kind of information are people going to get before the game and during the game?
It's going to be very similar to last year. I mean, Emmanuel and Joel do an amazing job with, you know, bringing in and collecting data and really breaking down guys. And so my job is to kind of be that conduit, that the information comes to me and I'm able to dispense it to the players and the coaches. And just, if there's any questions, they come to me, you know, taking some load off Mel and let him focus on some of the other areas of the pitching, you know, and the whole numbers. I mean, there's so much out there that I'm hopefully use a little bit of discernment for that, and so that it makes it so that the players really dig in and feel that it's individual, and they think that represents them well.
What drew you to the numbers side of things?
It's a great question, because my wife, I'm not a numbers guy. You know, she does all the taxes and she keeps care of our finances. Without my wife, I'm in trouble. But she was, Jim, how I don't see you as a numbers guy. I'm like, well, I never was until I went to AA, and I just saw it as a resource that is out there. How can it help? I mean, I went at it in a different way, not just, you know, you have to prove to me how it works. I went into it as, I got to find something. There's something here, because as a journeyman myself, I was always looking for that one thing that helped get me over the top. I thought the stuff was good. Something wasn't clicking. Was it a numbers thing? Was it a pitch uses thing? Maybe. But I didn't have this kind of information. So I was trying to be a gift to the players that I can do the pitching coach mechanics and you know, throwing programs and routines. That's been around and it's never going away. But this next layer, you know, can I connect to them more quickly? Because sometimes you need a relationship with players before they believe in you.
Right.
And sometimes it takes 3 to 4 months to get that relationship. Like, hey, I'm with you every day. I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And this actually jumps it. This gives them me some little quicker validity to these guys. And, wow, what you said actually kind of matches up to this, and I kind of feel it. So maybe that opportunity to connect doesn't take 3 months, it takes 1 month. So I can shorten quicken up the development, you know, process. And that's in the big league level. You got to win tonight. And if you don't, you don't have the opportunity. Like, well, it's just one game. Let's not worry about it. And then if it happens again, you're like, hey, it's only 2 games. But now with the numbers, I can actually say, hey, here's kind of weird trending. It is one game. Let's not make a big deal out of it. But let's just make sure we're staying in this right direction.
Yeah, it's an amazing evolution and amazingly quick for this game, how the numbers are a different language now, and as quick as that's come about, what you've seen, I mean, can you kind of just put that into words and how quick that's happened, what you've seen in the shift?
I mean, the shift went from, I was in AA in 2014. You know, that's, you know, 4 years ago. I was one of the only guys in minor leagues using a portable TrackMan unit that, you know, ended up kind of going to the wayside. Rapsodo is more the portable unit now, but it went from just me and just kind of figuring it out, and I had no help. I was just AA, and then I went to the Cubs, and it was full court press on trying to get the information. Couldn't always get it out because you need new coaches. The frontline guys have to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand all I want, but I'm not there on a daily basis now. And so, and that's, shoot, that was 2 years ago, and now organizations are hiring coaches, and, you know, it's everything right now, because the one that is able to use the information the best is going to have the competitive advantage. And that's why, you know, me coming here, was it quick? Yeah, I went from AA 3 years ago, and it was because of the information and who has the information, but who can do something with it. And
right.
So that's been kind of my calling card, and I've been kind of very blessed to have some good success with both organizations as a coach and as a coordinator, and that led me here. But it's within 3-4 years, that everything's changed.
It's amazing. I understand the numbers, I understand the importance of it, but your experience in baseball is very deep too as well. I mean, who are some of the people that helped you the most in the game, that you got the biggest lessons from, and things that you use today?
Well, a lot of it came to me. I played for 17 years. I had probably 3 pitching coaches to me that stood out. One had a lot of energy, was in shape, and you really connected with a guy that was able to get out there. And he doesn't have to throw at your level, but he was very active. And another one was, you know, about routines and very calming, breathing, relaxation, meditation. I think that was hugely impactful mm-hmm. in my career. And another one was just how he treated people. I mean, he treated the first-round pick just like when I was released at 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And extended, he treated me the exact same way. So I try to... You know, that's the old school part of it. Yeah, that's feeling. That's coaching. That's, you got to have an idea of what you're looking at and what you're talking about. And now the new school is, it's a new generation. These kids aren't, they want information, and they want accurate information. It's mm-hmm. a Google generation, and they want information now. And you have to understand what you're talking about, because they know when you don't really understand it. And I think as a coach, you get exposed quickly if you try to bring up numbers and you don't really understand it, because they're going to ask questions. There's a lot of whys, and I think that's great. They're not really trustworthy because they have their guys they see in the off season, and if you go against anything they say, why? Mm-hmm. It's no longer old school where the coach says something, they just do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's another issues of that. When I was coming up, the coach said, hey, I want you to throw fastballs in this count. Got it. Now, I want you to throw fastballs in this count. It's why? How has that helped me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, you know, like to me, it's a conversation. They need conversation. They need to know why, and you have to keep repeating that because you can't always have success. You got to teach the process, and when you do that and you do it correctly with information, it's a win-win because over time you're gonna have success. And now you got to make sure that you're open to everybody, and that's the new school. Is that old school is if you don't like it, you're out, you're in, everyone's in. And you have to find a way to connect with each of them. And that's where the old school, all my adventures have taken me. And I've seen a lot of different people and I've done a lot of different things. So hopefully I can connect to everybody and find something with the information that clicks with them. Some want to dive in deep and some don't. But it's all usable. You know, it's that individuality that's going to make a difference.
Conversation between Shannon Dreher, new Mariners assistant pitching coach Jim Brouwer. She recorded the interview on a roller coaster at Castles and Coasters. At least it sounded like that, but great interview talking about the numbers. The numbers that are available to use as a resource, the pitchers will have those numbers to help them out along the way. Thank you, Shannon Dreher. Coming up next, we'll have a visit with General Manager Jerry DePoto as the Cactus League report continues from the Peoria Sports Complex right after this timeout.
This is the Cactus League Report.
Going, goodbye baseball!
On 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle app.
Strike three called, admiring the hook from James Paxton tonight.
Now, the Cactus League Report.
Cactus League Report rolls along from inside the Peoria Sports Complex of obviously the big news of the day, that of Ichiro, and really less than an hour after Ichiro's official press conference here in Peoria, we had a chance to sit down with General Manager Jerry DePoto to talk, of course, all things Ichiro.
Really a big day for the franchise. Such a cool thing to be a part of. I said it to Ichiro when he first walked in the door, and I reminded our people, you know, our Mariners baseball front office, our staff downstairs, that these are moments where don't take yourself too seriously, don't think too much, just enjoy the moment. It's a, you know, you're welcoming back an organizational icon, one of the great players in the history of baseball, no matter where baseball is played, and you can forget the moment if you don't just enjoy it. And I'll say this, you were there for the press conference, the introductory press conference just moments ago, and I didn't understand too much of what Ichiro is saying, but I do understand that he could command a room with very few words and somehow bring them to laughter without even cracking a smile himself. It's fascinating.
Did you get any insights afterwards as to how exactly he did this or what he said or what it was? Because it was a little unique.
It was unique, and you know, I did ask afterward. I said, "Teach me, O wise one, your ways, because I need to know how I can make people laugh without even smiling." But he actually was terrific from start to the finish. And when asked going into the presser how long we were going to take with the question and answer session, he said as long as it takes. I think he really viewed this as one of those moments in life that you just don't want to let pass by without really absorbing it.
There's a lot to talk about on this front, obviously. First of all, I think something that a lot of fans will find very interesting in your comments at the podium today at the table, you made it very clear that you had been in talks with Ichiro and his people, not just now, but going back to the earliest days of the offseason. Can you tell us kind of the beginning seeds of this relationship with Ichiro?
Yeah, we've gone through so many different iterations of Ichiro conversation with John Boggs. And, you know, John reached out almost immediately after the 2017 season concluded to check on the potential for a fit with Ichiro. You know, at that time, we had an expected returning outfield of Mitch Haniger, Guillermo Heredia, and Ben Gamel. We knew we had an opening that needed to be filled. We weren't entirely sure at the time how we were going to fill it. So this is post Jerod Dyson, pre D Gordon, and not knowing how we were going to mix and match in our outfield. And we also knew we had holes at first base, at utility infield. We wanted to add to the pitching staff in a meaningful way. And you know, we were trying to figure out where we were going to allocate our dollars. So we did keep in touch with John. We talked about the potential of Ichiro. How does he fit in a rotation with our three existing outfielders? If we went out and got more of a bigger free agent hit, would that be, you know, whether it be at first base, on the pitching staff, would Ichiro be a cost-effective solution in an outfield rotation? And ultimately, we had that conversation over and over until we acquired D. Gordon via trade, and then there was seemingly no fit. And the discussions calmed, and obviously with some of the nicks and bruises we experienced here in spring, we had a couple more conversations with John, and then ultimately over this past weekend when Ben Gamel went down and we realized that this could be a 4 to 6 week, maybe 2 month stretch where we're without Ben. You know, obviously March being a bulk of that time, we did re-engage, and it didn't take too long to come to a conclusion.
Now, there's a conversation that you had with the Mariners fan, Jerry, that I was not there for. I got secondhand. I think I was trying to remember who my source is. I think it's Ben Van Houten, Mariners team photographer, who oversaw this, overheard it, and then in casual conversation mentioned it to me. At some point over the winter, Jerry, correct me if this is wrong, there was a Mariners fan who essentially undressed you, berated you, just chastised you for having not signed Ichiro to that point. And then when your response was along the lines of, I don't know if there's a great fit for Ichiro right now in the Mariners, I mean, just form tackled you even further. First of all, do you remember this conversation?
Vividly.
Do you have something you'd like to say to this Mariners fan right now?
How do you like us now? No, I do remember the conversation. It was during our pseudo fan fest.
Okay.
We had a group of VIPs, we had a group of season ticket holders, and we had a group of fans that all came through at various intervals at Safeco Field for cocktail affairs, for question and answer sessions, etc.
Roasting the GM.
We did. We had one. It was slightly something north of roasting. I felt like I was tarred and feathered, but and there was. I mean, legitimately, when we were in that zone in January, there was no logical way that Ichiro fit, because, you know, one of the things that we were committed to was the idea that if Ichiro were to return, we don't envision an organizational icon sitting on the bench regularly. And there had to be a way that we were going to get him regular at-bats and allow him to do the things that he's capable of doing. Because you can see in the second half of last season with the Miami Marlins, whether it's what he's doing in high-leverage situations, what he's doing when given the chance to play a little more regularly, he's still quite a good player and can do a lot of really strong things. And give him the opportunity now with Guillermo in left field to spell Mitch in right field when that's required, or to move over for D in center. We have three outfielders who can play all the spots. And that's what we lost with Ben Gamel, and that's what we were focused on when we were going out to fill that position now with Ichiro. And we feel like this puts us in a very good position when Ben comes back, because now we have that versatility and increased flexibility that maybe we didn't have before.
So in other words, when you're looking at how Ichiro fits on the Mariners in the right now present time for Seattle, I mean, do you get the sense that his body can carry the load that he was not carrying in recent years? Like Miami last year, where roughly, let's call it, half of his at-bats were as a pinch hitter?
I will say that the going through the physical, the process of the physical with Ichiro, from the orthopedic exam to the physical exam, there's some of the most, shockingly positive reviews in a medical that you can achieve. We're used to looking at guys in their young mid-20s and who are very athletic people, and Ichiro makes them all look like they're not taking care of themselves. He's an incredibly well-conditioned athlete. He's going to play this year at 44 years old, and you'd never know it when you look at him. The waist size, the jersey size, it's phenomenal. Although he's something of my junior, I would like to age like he's aging in some way. But Ichiro, he's an iconic player. I think whether he plays 7 days a week or 5 days a week, he's going to play for us regularly. I don't think we're going to burden him with the expectation of 600 plate appearances or the 700 plate appearances he may have really achieved in the salad days back in the early 2000s. But what our expectations are that he's going to play 4 to 5 times a week, maybe 6 times a week, depending on the matchups and depending on where the need is in that moment. Particularly during this time when Ben's down. because we do have Guillermo coming back from an off-season surgery. We're going to be without Gamel for a period of time. Minimally, we're anticipating the month of April. And Mitch Haniger still hasn't taken an at-bat in the spring. So we do have some concerns in regard to playing time, and we don't want to overburden any of those players with too much too soon, and Ichiro really allows us to do that.
That is Jerry Dipoto. That was recorded earlier today inside his office after the Ichiro press conference. You can hear the rest of that probably later tonight. It will be posted. That is the latest edition of the Wheelhouse Podcast. You can find it on iTunes. You can also find it at Mariners.com. And, Rick, we'll be talking with James Paxton here in just a moment. But really pretty exciting stuff. And you can tell Jerry Dipoto, from not only from an executive's point of view, but from a baseball fan point of view, he is really excited about this on both fronts.
Exactly, because right now he provides help in that outfield with some question marks with Haniger. It's great to see this young man being able to come back. He got off to the great start last year, then was injured. That was one of the storylines last year. And also with Heredia coming back from the shoulder surgery. So here's a guy that's been around the game for a long time. Ichiro, the talks heated up about 6-7 days ago. They had him come in, sign a contract, and he's going to be ready to go. I would think Scott Service told me, and you'll hear his interview on the manager's show prior to tonight's game here in Peoria against the Oakland A's, that we may see him in the lineup in the next 4 or 5 days. So Ichiro is back in uniform, and the Cactus League report continues. And right now we have a chance to visit with James Paxton. James, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. How are you?
Thanks for coming by. We're doing fantastic, getting ready for Cactus League baseball tonight. Thanks for coming by. A heck of a year for you in 2017. James, the 7 consecutive starts in July last year, the 6-0 record of 1.37 ERA, pitcher of the month in July. You had a great April, great start. What stood out for you in your mind from 2017 more than anything?
I mean, I think for me it was that month of July. You know, I really pitched well that month. Guys played well behind me. I believe it was, like you said, 7 games in a row that we won with me on the mound, and that's always fun. You know, when we're winning, that's what it's all about.
You know, James, first of all, I want to let you know that you're a part of Cactus League Report history right now. This is the first ever dugout interview that we have done on the Cactus League Report, James, as you are now leaning very comfortably next to Shannon right by the Mariners dugout. This is big time, James. You're part of groundbreaking radio right now. Are you aware of this?
Well, I'm honored. I'm quite comfortable, you know, standing there leaning on the leaning on the bench right now. It's great.
Well, now that we have that out of the way, thank you so much for making the time for us early this evening. You know, this spring training is such an odd time of year for players who are established in this league from the standpoint of, I think, simply just adrenaline. How is it that you approach a spring training start when you know that the results are going to be thrown in the recycling bin immediately, but you are out there really kind of pitching against yourself in some ways, trying to improve this little thing or that little thing? How do you do it on a stage that is obviously not nearly as grand as what you're used to pitching on?
Yeah, that's a tough thing, and you really have to learn how to do that. For me, the first couple times out, I'm just focused on getting my mechanics where I want them to be, make sure the ball is feeling good coming out of my hand, make sure that my breaking balls, everything's kind of spinning tight, and then towards the end, you really have to try and manufacture that adrenaline and get as close to what the first games that you're going to pitch are going to feel like. So you have to get yourself in that mindset of, you know, trying to get guys out and really focus on telling yourself this game matters.
At the end of the spring, James, are you looking at 7 innings down here and getting to that 100 pitch limit? Is that the goal?
I believe so. You know, I think we've got it mapped out right now. So my last 2 games will be 6 innings and 7 innings. You know, obviously it'll be on a pitch count, but getting close to that 100 pitch count will be a goal for sure.
You know, James, we've had a chance earlier in the show. Shannon did a fine interview with Jim Brower, who is now part of the pitching coaching staff. This has been a little bit of a change for the Mariners this year, not so much on the field but off the field in terms of pitching coaches this year. Mel Stottlemyre Jr. has certainly some helping hands. Can you tell us about your relationship early on here with Jim?
Yeah, he's been great. You know, working in the backfields in the morning, really trying to get better at holding runners, you know, pickoff moves, fielding, kind of all. He's been really focused on the pickoff moves and holding runners, and I feel like our guys have been learning a lot, really working on that footwork and making it a part of our game.
James, a couple of starts under your belt. The last one, the rough start against the Texas Rangers. Hey, everybody has a tough start at spring training, one or two of those. But you go right back to work. The next day, I saw you in the bullpen with Mel Stottlemyre Jr. What do you do to get back on track and get ready for that next start? Because you'll be there.
I went and looked at the video, and I was trying to pick out some things mechanically that I was doing wrong, and we think we found some stuff. And I've been working on that the past couple of days, and we think we have it cleaned up a little bit. So it's just a making progress forward, getting to that point where when it's time to get going for the season, that everything's feeling good and timed up and ready to get rolling.
What are the keys for you, James, knowing that you're on track during the course of a ball game?
Well, for me, it's all about rhythm. You know, if I can find that rhythm with my delivery, everything's going to play off my fastball. If I can get my fastball going and moving that pitch around, my other pitches are going to play off of it. So as long as I can get my timing down, feel comfortable moving down the mound in a powerful position, I'll be ready to go.
James Paxton is our guest here. He is leaning up against the dugout rail as we're up in the broadcast booth inside the Peoria Sports Complex here on the Cactus League Report. You know, James, we know all about your kind of evolution as a major league pitcher, and mainly in terms of the mechanical side of things. How does it feel coming into this year? You just talked about a little tweak here, a little tweak there, looking at the film. How does it feel coming into this season, knowing that you've kind of had the major overhaul is in your past, and now you can build on what was, as Rick alluded to earlier, a sensational 2017, and can even take further steps forward this year? Because I'd have to imagine, James, there are fewer things to work on and fewer things to get accustomed to.
Yeah, you know, you always want to get better, always want to make progress. I feel like for me, number one is staying healthy and being on the mound the entire year. So I'm really trying to learn how to manage my body and my workload to allow me to stay healthy for the entire season.
Visiting with James Paxton here on the Cactus League Report as the Mariners get ready to take on the A's tonight here in Peoria. James, got to ask you, growing up in Lander, British Columbia, now you make your home in Wisconsin. What are some of the parallels or biggest differences from Ladner to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, besides eating some cheese curds? Or I guess you should kind of stay away from those, though, don't you?
I try to. You know, mostly for me, it's just milk. I still have a little bit of cheese, but, you know, I think, you know, Ladner, Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, they're the same size of towns. I'd say Eau Claire is even a little bit bigger. They have a university there. You know, I'd say Wisconsin's a wee bit colder. Everyone thinks Canada would be pretty cold, but Wisconsin is very cold. I kind of had to get used to that. So not exactly where you want to spend your winters, but for us, it's close to family, and we really enjoy it.
Well, briefly, we'll put a hold on James for a moment with the Mariners Flex Plan. You choose a location and games you want to see, all while receiving significant savings over single-game prices. Whether purchasing a 20-game or 40-game plan, you'll become a Mariners season ticket holder and gain access to great benefits. Pick out your plan at mariners.com/flex. Hey, James, you know, this has been a trend in baseball, it seems like probably for the last 5 years, and that is the cutter. Everybody's throwing a cutter. Now, I know you and Scott have maybe a different phrase for your pitch. Some you might call it. Now, you call it a cutter, and he calls it a slider. Am I remembering this correctly?
That is correct. Okay. Mostly for me, I have to think of it as a cutter. If I start thinking slider, it'll get kind of loopy and flat. So I know that it moves like a slider, but I have to throw it thinking cutter, or else it'll won't be as good a pitch.
And that transition so far to even you talking about it, you
right.
Even when you're not on the mound. What is it, James, in your mind that you think has made the cutter such an attractive pitch for major league pitchers, whether starters or relievers? Because if a pitcher, I'm telling you, James, if they don't have a cutter, they're working on a cutter in spring training.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's just one of those pitches that looks just like a fastball coming in. And it just gets the ball just a little bit off the barrel. You know, different guys have different movements on their cutter, but it just gets the ball enough off the barrel to get yourself an out in most cases. And they kind of use it like their two-seam. You know, you got your two-seam and your cutter and your fastball kind of working off of the same plane but moving a different direction. So having those pitches that look the same and end up somewhere different when they get into the hitting zone are a big positive for us.
Well, James, I tell you what, you're poised and primed for an outstanding season in 2018. I can't wait to see you on the mound your next time out here in the Cactus League. And thanks for setting the Cactus League record, being our first live interview on the show as you get ready to take on the Oakland A's tonight. James, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. The lefty from Ladner now makes his home in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. James Paxton. We're going to be back with more and wrap things up from Peoria, Arizona, right after this timeout.
Now back to the Cactus League Report, live from Mariners spring training in Arizona.
And we are getting ready for Cactus League Baseball tonight, live from Peoria, Arizona, as the Mariners get ready to take on the Oakland A's. That wraps up the Cactus League report this evening. A chance to visit with Greg Green earlier in the hour, the Senior Director of Marketing for the Mariners. Also, Jim Brower, one of the assistant pitching coaches on the ball club, Shannon. A nice interview with Jim. Also, Jerry DePoto was one of our guests as well, along with Aaron Goldsmith. And also, James Paxton live, right in front of the dugout, some broadcast history on the Cactus League Report, visiting with the big lefty out of Ladner, British Columbia. So that wraps things up on the Cactus League Report. We're getting ready for the game between the Mariners and the Oakland A's. Marco Gonzalez getting his third start of the Cactus League season. He's pitched very well. First two outings, no record, with a 0.00 ERA against the Dodgers and the Milwaukee Brewers. And getting the start for the A's tonight, it'll be 26-year-old right-hander Jarrell Cotton, who was 9-10 on the season last year with a 5.58 ERA. D. Gordon in the lineup, Gene Segura, Robbie Cano, Nelson Cruz in the lineup for the Mariners tonight. So thank you for joining us on the Cactus League Report. Fans coming into the Peoria Sports Complex, and we are getting ready for baseball. Both teams getting set. It's the Mariners against the Oakland A's. Thank you for tuning in for the Cactus League Report. Cactus League Baseball is coming your way next.